Welcome to the Fremont Presbyterian Church Podcast. Here at Fremont, we create space for people to become lifelong followers of Jesus, and we relentlessly pursue His transformation of our neighborhood, our city, and the world. Here's today's message.
The verses that I'm going to read are from the book of Colossians in the New Testament. They're the third chapter, verses 12 through 17. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Brian. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your never-changing word that acts as an anchor in this ever-changing world. God, we admit that we are busy people. We have so much going on. We admit we can come to just a glorious passage like this and just be preoccupied, be sidetracked, distracted. God, I pray for your grace. I pray that your spirit would protect us from wandering minds. I pray that your spirit would protect us from going through the motions. God, I pray that you give us eyes to see the treasure that is in your word. God, you know, we come in here, some of us need to be encouraged, some of us need to be convicted, some of us need to be assured, some of us need to be challenged. Thank you, you've given us your spirit. I pray your spirit will provide the ministry that each of us need as individuals and collectively as a body. And as we just read, may the word of Christ, may it dwell in us richly. We pray now that you would make your word clear and that we would clearly see the person of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. I had zero period PE in high school, which meant I began my day in PE. So my first class, I could actually show up in my PE clothes rather than having to change into them from my school clothes. They were like school PE clothes, cheap pair of shorts and a shirt, had like the school logo plastered on it and the name. So sadly, one day I forgot to bring my change of school clothes. So I had to wear like these very uncool PE clothes, like all throughout the day. So they were stained. They probably smelled a little bit. And so as I went from class to class, you know, people are staring at me, basically in essence saying like, why are you wearing those? Which is funny because while on one hand, it was perfectly fitting that I wore them in PE class, but then when I got to math class and I was within close quarters to people where they could smell me, and when it was winter time, all of a sudden it wasn't fitting anymore. You see, the change in classes should have naturally led to a change of wardrobes. And that's what our passage is about today. This is the Colossians, though. They haven't just changed classes. They have been given a whole new identity from Christ, and this change of identity necessitates a change of spiritual wardrobes. So in last week's passage, Paul was saying, put off, literally that word means disrobe, your old selves, things that characterize you like anger and slander and mean speech. And today he's going to complete that clothing metaphor by saying, now this is what you are to put on in its place. This is your new spiritual wardrobe. So here's the big idea today. As new people in Christ, we are to clothe ourselves with Christ. Now notice, the big idea is not, hey, put on Christ-like virtues, right? That would be a message of self-improvement, right? And if it were left up to our own grit and our own willpower, none of us would ever live up into the virtues in this passage. But the message of Colossians and the message of Scripture is that God has not left us to ourselves. There was one person who encapsulated all these virtues perfectly, and it's his life emanating in us that enables and empowers us to live into this new spiritual wardrobe. So today, we get to clothe ourselves in a spiritual wardrobe, not to become new people in Christ. We get to clothe ourselves in a spiritual wardrobe because we are new people in Christ. And so here's how we're going to navigate these six verses. The outline is in your bulletin. In verses 12 through 14, we're going to look at what it means to be clothed with Christ's character. Verse 15, clothed with Christ's peace. And 16 and 17, clothed with Christ's word. So 12 through 14, we're going to start with just verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. So before we can even begin to unpack this, we got to see the structure here. So right off the bat, we see this, chosen ones, holy, beloved. This is identity language. And then what we see here is compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. This is activity. And so as always in Scripture, activity flows out of identity, not into identity. That's our only hope today, because we in ourselves are not going to clothe ourselves in this. The other thing we need to pay attention to is Paul says, put on then. So that's a therefore, pointing us back to something else that he has previously said. Now, Paul has introduced some incredibly important points that are just foundational. It's kind of like this. If you missed your orientation on your first day of school or work, there's just going to be some gaps that keep coming up. Well, thankfully for us, Paul has put the orientation packet in Scripture so we can go back to it. So in 2:12 of Colossians, this is what it says, and this is really kind of a foundational one. It says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith, and the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Now, hang on to that. So I'm going to keep it up there. So this is union. This is like marriage language. Now, one of the better known stories in the Old Testament, story of David and Goliath. Now, there was much more at stake in this battle than just the individual David and the individual Goliath. Right, so David represented the nation of Israel, which meant if David the individual won, the whole nation of Israel won. Goliath represented the Philistine nation, which meant if the individual Goliath won, the whole Philistine nation won. So it could be said that each individual was in union with their nation. And this deep identification is how Christ relates to his people. The Bible teaches that the life of every Christian is so enveloped, it is so intertwined in the life of Christ that his realities become our realities. So here what we see, this is his death, this burial, that became our death, death to our old self. Then his resurrection became our resurrection to our new selves. And so while Christ alone has achieved this for us in principle, now we must live this out in practice. We must become who we are. And that's what our passage is about today. Now, here's where we left off last week. This takes us right up into our passage today. So verse 9, I'm going to read 9 and 10. It says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. So same language today. Paul said, put off. Now we're to put on. So transformation isn't only about what we stop doing. It is also about what we start doing. So we need both. Now, apart from Christ, some of us, we might be tempted to go about change like this. You know, I think I'm just going to put on some new clothes kind of over my old ones. Like, I don't want to fully disrobe. And what that's kind of reflective of is, well, I just want Jesus to come in my life and make a few cosmetic tweaks, but I don't really want to die to my old self. And Jesus saying, no, I care way too much about you to let you just think I'm going to make you a better version of your old self. I have come for you to die to yourself to make you a completely new self. And then verse 11, and this is huge today. I think it's underrated in our context. Here, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all. That's gold. And in all. So previously, there's all these different identities that used to kind of separate or define people. And all of a sudden, you have this kind of different groups of people. Christ becomes their all in all. And now Christ is their identity. And so as we go into verse 12, Paul is saying these virtues are the new identity that really foster who you are in Christ. These are the new defining markers of a new community. So this is very much a communal passage, not just an individualistic one. So that's our context. Now also, I want to highlight again the corporate nature. So I'm going to read. When I stop, I'm going to underline. You guys fill in the blanks. We've done this really well before, I feel. I'm just going to do it in 12 and 13. I'm not even going to get to 14. Mainly, it'll be in 13. But all right, put on then as God's chosen, plural, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with, and if one has a complaint against, forgiving, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. So this is this isn't just me and my individual, this is us together. So before reminding them of what to do, he reminds them of who they are. Chosen, holy, beloved. All right, so this reality that they are chosen, this is meant to deeply humble them. Like they're not in Christ because they were morally superior. They're in Christ because of an undeserved act of grace. I used to play soccer at lunch recess, and you would have like two captains picking teams. And, you know, we're like, pick me. And they would always pick like the most athletic ones. And if it wasn't the most athletic ones, it was the most popular ones. Right? That's not humbling to anyone. But this is completely different because God says he chose the foolish things of this world, right, to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. And then the second identity marker, holy, right? Remember, we're so intertwined with Christ that what is true about Christ, it gets transferred and is true of us. So we are called holy even as we have moments of unholiness. And the third identity marker, beloved. Remember what the Father said to the Son at his baptism? This is my, beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Because we are in Christ and Christ is in us because of our union with Christ. If you are in Christ, you are beloved of God. Now, since Paul is using, there's five kind of things here, these five put on metaphors, it's better to see these as one seamless garment that comes on rather than these five individual hodgepodge pieces of clothing. It's kind of like the fruit of the Spirit. There's nine of them, but he doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. It's one kind of seamless garment, right? Because if we don't have one of these, it's hard to have the other. So first, compassionate hearts and kindness. These are the first two pieces of clothing we're told to put on. This word compassion, it's the word literally, it means bowels of mercy. So it's like this deep-seated, like gut mercy. When I was a kid, we had like this neighborhood. It was great. Everyone would go out on the street and we'd just play and play. And finally, we would be like dying of thirst. And so we would just go in the front yard, drink out of the hose and get water. But when I would want to get under someone's skin, get a little snarky, I'd come up behind on the hose. And I would tie a knot in the hose to constrict it. So they're trying to get water out of it. And there's like nothing coming out. Now, here's what I want us to see. Apart from our union in Christ and first being recipients of God's mercy and kindness, our spiritual hose is constricted and nothing will come out. In Christ, the knot is undone and the waters of mercy and kindness flow freely. We cannot give away that which we have not first received. Now, our next two articles of clothing are humility and meekness. Oh, these are such overlooked virtues. Here's a question. What do we have that we did not receive from God? And you guys say, nothing, right? Nothing. That is meant to breed this humility. And sadly, these things that Christ exemplified so well, they're often looked down upon as being weak. But meekness is not weakness. It is strength under control. As we consider how Christ was so gentle towards us, we can clothe ourselves in gentleness towards others. There is great strength in being gentle when under attack or when misunderstood. Right? If you speak a gentle word, strength does not come from matching someone's decibel level. Instead, strength is exuded in the person of Christ who, when under attack, did not open his mouth. And again, we can only do this because Christ first humbled himself in our place. Fifth virtue right here, patience. My wife's parents live in Pollock Pines. It gets cold up there. They heat their home up with their fireplace, keep the firewood outside. They cover it. Imagine this. What if it's raining and the water gets through what's covering the wood? That's not good because the wood isn't going to light. That's a picture of what we are to be. As people who Christ has been so patient with, we are to have an internal disposition that is not easily flammable because Christ has not been flammable towards us. And so in verse 12, we have the five attitudes of a new community in Christ. Now in verse 13, we have the two actions of a community of Christ, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Now I need to bring us back to verse 11, the verse right before this, because here is that we see there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised. So this is a beautiful thing on one hand, that Christ has become all and in all. But we still have these differences that make up this beautiful community called the church. And so what happens is, you know what? We're going to rub each other wrong sometimes. We're going to irritate. We're going to annoy each other because it's all these different groups of people that God has brought together. And that's what it means to bear with one another. It means overlooking irritances and annoyances. Right? It's like you come into church and the person right in front of you is like the tallest person and you can't see. Or this never happens at Fremont, but I've heard in other churches this happens, right? You come in and you're kind of in a hurry, you're late, and you look and the person is in your seat. Irritating. That should not happen in a new community of people. So the reality is we are going to be around people who are different, and that's what it means to bear with. Now, the forgiveness piece is a little bit harder because this isn't just about overlooking things that are irritating. This is things when people actually sin against us. Now, think about this thing here. What I love about this forgiveness piece is he says, as the Lord has forgiven you. In other words, I think what Paul is saying is, I want you to be so amazed by the debt you have been forgiven by God that you are much more willing to forgive a small debt to someone else. Jesus tells a parable of a guy who had an insurmountable debt. He falls on his knees, begs his master for mercy. He forgives him. And the problem is he goes out and the guy asks him for mercy from a much smaller debt. And the guy says, no. He ends up pleading and he will not forgive. And again, we see Paul connecting our forgiveness to the forgiveness that we ourselves have received. So in verse 14 kind of puts like the belt on it. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So this binding here, it's like a belt. We are still growing into clothing in our spiritual closet, but love makes it all fit. Now let's be careful that we don't turn love into a mere feeling that we wait upon before we act. Many times the greatest acts of love will come absent of the feeling or emotion whatsoever. Oftentimes our feelings follow our acts of love, not lead to our acts of love. You know those restaurants, they just put like their secret sauce and everything and everyone loves it? Like love is a secret sauce. It just flavors everything and it makes everything fit. And so in these virtues here, these three first verses, Christ has filled us, clothed us in his character. And now we will look at what it means to be clothed in his peace. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, once again, notice this corporate response. On one hand, the gospel is inescapably individual, but on the other hand, the gospel is unescapably corporate. We are called together in one body. Jesus, at his, right before his crucifixion, said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." His is the supreme peace. And what I want to see now is how that peace leads to horizontal peace with one another. This is an amazing verse in Ephesians 2, 13 through 17. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." So this is a costly peace. "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility," right? Those are all the differences we read in Colossians 3:11. "By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross," costly, "thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near." Now, the first peace that Christ provided is right here in 16. It's the peace that was in the ruptured in our relationship with God, our vertical relationship with God. On page 3 of our Bibles, the first humans chose to sin against God, which ruptured their peace with him, and it ruptured their peace with one another. And of course, their solution was, we're going to clothe ourselves. We're going to clothe ourselves in fig leaves. And God said, I don't think that's fitting clothing, because very shortly after that, they were clothed in animal skins. And that animal became the first substitute to die to clothe the spiritual nakedness of humanity. Centuries later, there would be a better sacrifice and a permanent sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, in which would clothe us in his righteousness to be freed from guilt forever. So why mess with fig leaves? But the other thing we see here, we see the horizontal peace. People who were far off have been brought near, far off, near. And so our vertical peace is meant to stun us into horizontal peace. Now, back to our passage, that word rule, it's the word where we get our English word umpire from. So the peace of Christ is to be an umpire, the final arbiter and determiner in our relationships with one another. It is the line judge that calls something in or out based on our interactions with one another. Practically, it means that in making decisions, navigating conflict, working through differences, that the concern to preserve the communal peace of Christ is the lens in which we see everything through. Now, here's the good news and the assurance. Because of what follows, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. This is not a false peace or a false unity that comes from compromising the word of Christ. It is a peace that takes place through keeping the word of Christ intact. So living into this communal peace, it will look different. Sometimes it'll mean bearing with one another. And other times, this is going to be hard. It's going to mean gently confronting someone in order to obtain a real peace rather than being satisfied with a false peace. And may the peace of Christ be the final arbiter in our relationships with one another. And now in our final two verses, we get to take one more trip back to the closet to be clothed in the wardrobe of Christ's word. Verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. When I get home late on certain nights of the week, I am famished. And I just like ravish our refrigerator. And when I put something in the microwave, hit the one button, that's 60 seconds, but I can't wait. And so I just begin like devouring like anything like in my wake. Like, that's a picture of what's going on here. This is St. Paul saying, this is how we are to be with the word of Christ. We are to be a community of people who feast on the word of Christ. We don't skimp on it, right? The word of Christ, it's not an afterthought. It's not patchwork. It's not something, oh, let me do my own thing and let me add a little bit of sprinkle, a little bit of word of Christ over here. No, this passage, it's so precious. It gives us a glimpse into how the first Christians worshiped. The word of Christ was central. The word of Christ was central stage. The word of Christ had the supreme authority, and may it continue to have supreme authority with us. And it just continues to get better. The word of Christ is going to manifest in teaching and admonishing. But again, one another. So this isn't just what we're doing. This isn't just pulpit work. This is one another. So we ingest God's word individually in order to share with others. When we eat for two. Now, teaching is making the word of Christ clear. And admonishing is taking the word of Christ as a corrective mechanism to restore someone. And this is to be done in wisdom. So the timing, the tone, and the content is important in blending together the teaching and the admonishing of the word of Christ. And then, in addition to that, the word of Christ dwelt through singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And so they sang Christ, exalted lyrics. They were exalting Christ in their singing, and they were doing it to one another, before God and to one another. Now think about that. I don't think we think of teaching and admonishing one another through singing, but think about this. All right, lyrics are up. You're next to someone in your community, same body of Christ. You know they're suffering. You know they've had a horrible week. You know they're going through it. And you are hearing and you are seeing them voice out lyrics about how worthy God is, how Christ is worth it all, how I will give my life for Christ. That is instructive, because what you are learning and hearing in that moment is that Christ is worthy, not in spite of my suffering, but even in the middle of my suffering. And that brings gratitude. That's why this is a communal thing, and we need each other. And finally, we conclude in verse 17, whatever we do in word or deed, we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In other words, there's no aspect of life in which our lives are compartmentalized from the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the word of Christ is meant to permeate our entire worship experience, so worship is meant to permeate our entire life experience. And whatever we do, that leads to being grateful people. Whether we eat, whether we drink, we do it all for the glory of God. So as new people in Christ, we are to clothe ourselves with Christ. Why would we settle for fig leaves when we can be clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ himself? And as we respond and get ready to approach the table, I want us to encourage us not only to be thinking about this from an individual standpoint, but a communal standpoint. What spiritual clothing would be fitting to clothe ourselves with in order to fit our community identity? And always remember, we are empowered to be these things to others because Christ has first been these things to us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. The word of Christ is rich. May it dwell in us. If we approach the table, may we come feasting as little children. May we be in the awe of the peace that you have given us. God, I pray we would be people quick to be clothed in these things because of who you have made us in Christ. Help us not to be a forgetful people. God, I pray throughout this week that you would, your spirit would be gracious to us and bring these truths flooding back into our minds. We pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Fremont Presbyterian Church podcast. We hope that you were blessed by the message. You can send your questions or comments directly to us at podcast@fremontpress.org. That's podcast@fremontpress.org. We'd love to see you on a Sunday morning. We have classic worship in the sanctuary at 9 a.m. and modern worship in the Community Life Center at 10:30 a.m. You can find the live stream of both of those services at fremontpress.org. Make sure you're subscribed to this podcast feed to get the latest episode each week automatically. Thanks for listening.